Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav. How is everyone today? I am recording this here in beautiful Bali. Still here for a few more days enjoying my one of my best friend's 50th birthday festivities. So I am here today to talk about Arsenal's thumping win at the Emirates Stadium. Just a fantastic performance. However, we can't really fully enjoy all the good that came from it, including, of course, just a very beautiful, very special, emotional announcement, unveiling of Eberechi Eze before the match. And it's just like we can't quite fully embrace and enjoy these things because, unfortunately, there's a toll has been taken as well with the injuries of Martin Odegaard and Bukayo Saka, who looks quite serious, I must say. That's my major worry. So look, we'll get into all of that in a moment. Firstly, though, just thank you again for being here. If you are listening on YouTube, I would most appreciate a like and subscribe, please. Or if you're listening on an audio platform, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, a review most certainly would be appreciated, please. It helps boost the engagement. So now that the housekeeping's underway, let's get stuck into it because there's so much to talk about. And just similar to my recording a few days ago when I was discussing the roller coaster of a day between the Kai Havertz news and then as it developed during the day, the emergence of how close Arsenal are to securing Eze. It's just like it's a bit like that saying, why can't we just have nice things? I think it comes with the territory of being an Arsenal supporter that we just can't quite fully embrace all the good without having something at the other end of the scale, a bit of the yin and the yang, so to speak. So it's really unfortunate that we've got these injuries amassing already. It's 2 matches into the Premier League season. We haven't started the cup fixtures yet. We haven't started the Champions League. Once the fixtures start coming in thick and fast in November, December, January, I mean, we've all seen this story before, right? So to all of a sudden be in late August, 2 matches into the Premier League season, and we've got three key first team regulars, Kai Havertz, Odegaard and Saka, out for different, for various periods of time. It remains to be seen, of course. Just to have three of them already off the table heading into next week to Anfield. I can't see how Saka can even if it's a very light hamstring strain. It's his left hamstring. It's the same hamstring, I believe, that he had surgery on just 6 months ago. Oh, but pardon me, it was early now. It was last December. But I think you know the gist of what I'm saying. You can't have a recurrence of a major injury, a major surgery like that, and not be anything but cautious to manage him accordingly and manage him properly. So I can't see how in any shape or form that he features next weekend, even if it is a very minor slash light strain. Odegaard is the one that perhaps gives me the most hope. I mean, it's an impact injury, came down with a foul. It's so hard to diagnose. Oh, I should say, actually, I was watching this match in a bar as well after a massive night out with my best friend's turned 50. That's why we're here in Bali. Certainly a different capacity in me watching matches. I'm usually in the comfort of my bed watching on my iPad. back in Melbourne at all hours of the evening and night, so to watch it after a huge night out at Finn's Beach Club here in Bali. If you ever this side of the world, please do check it out. It's just a fantastic night out with great people, great friends, and a very eventful evening unfolded. And a few too many vodkas in, which is very unique for me because I'm not a drinker at all. In fact, it was the first time I've had a drink in 3 years. So, and it certainly took its toll. So anyway, watching it in a bar full of, there were many Arsenal supporters, I must say. It was brilliant from all parts of the world. There were German Arsenal fans, fans from Japan, from Singapore, from Australia, of course. There's a massive Australian tourist exposure here as well. So it was just fantastic watching it with so many Arsenal fans. And I could appreciate the match a little bit more this morning because I did watch it again once I woke up. A little bit bleary-eyed, but at least I could watch it with my headphones on and without all the external noise and just appreciate a few things in further context than watching it live. So Odegaard, who I was discussing a moment ago, it's so hard to diagnose just watching it live. But the club, of course, is going to be very cautious with these players. I can't see any shape or form how you can cut that as a positive, losing Odegaard to a shoulder injury, an impact injury, and Saka to a hamstring on top of Havertz a few days ago, which is still being assessed, of course. I read that some stories emerging out of the German media, German press, that that it's not an ACL, which is fantastic. However, it remains to be seen how the swelling goes, and when he gets his scan, what's the severity of the injury, like in terms of what, if any, ligaments? Are we talking strains that will self-heal, or are we talking torn ligaments that might require some sort of corrective surgery? So to have three players injured already, it shows why. It shows why we have made the choices we have to really power up the squad. Now, I know the squad is packed at the moment, and we've spoken at length the need for Arsenal now in this closing phase of the transfer window to secure some outgoings. I saw Carl Hein the other day has secured a loan to Werder Bremen. So that's fantastic. He's one of about half a dozen who do need to find new homes. And even accounting for that, right, there's still so much football still to be played. They will all have their time to shine. They will all get their minutes involved. It's just a matter of balancing the workload and time management accordingly. So, it shows why we've gone ahead and made those decisions. I mean, look at this match in particular. Martinelli hasn't even featured. He didn't even come off the substitute bench, which is just a very refreshing position for Arsenal to be in. It's something that I can't really recall us being in for quite some time. I mean, so often last season, we were just short. We were constantly short of players and not having the options, the alternative on the bench to come on and impact the game. And more so, not even having the opportunity such as this morning when we'd killed the game off because we scored, we dominated, but we converted our dominance into goals. We not only scored the second goal, the third goal, the fourth goal, but we gave ourselves the luxury of being able to take players off, to take Urien Timber off and protect him because Ben White is out. So Mosquera comes on at right back, who was fantastic, by the way. I really enjoyed his time there. Looked very short in his slot straight in. Same thing on the other flank. We could protect Calafiori, bring him off because he himself has a very up and down time at Arsenal so far. We need to manage his workload accordingly. Bring on someone the likes of Lewis Skelly. And then we then had the opportunity, of course, to bring on Max Dowman for his Premier League debut. And boy, oh, but what have we got here? What have we got with this young man? Incredible. He's fantastic. Just the confidence and belief in him. So scoring goals gives you that chance. You ice the game, you kill off the opposition, and then you can take key players off. You can protect them, and you can give other players minutes to get them match fit, to get them sharp, just so they're not sitting on the bench, the whole time, and just coming out of the cold when you really need them in an injury crisis. So this is an excellent position for Arsenal to be in that respect. The injuries, of course, not at all. However, Arsenal, it seems, have learned some very, very harsh lessons from last season, and we are taking the responsible courses of corrective action here to power up the squad and give ourselves the opportunity to utilize players in that first team squad. This is so crucial for Arsenal to do what it is that we want to do this season. This is a must. So let's get on to the goals now, shall we? The first goal, the opener, came from a Yuen Timber header, a brilliant set piece delivery once again from Declan Rice. That in-swinging corner that he has developed, it's causing problems, and it's going to keep causing so many problems for a number of opposition teams and goalkeepers this season. He's an absolute weapon. And the beauty is now that Arsenal have so many threats at set pieces. Anyone from Calafiori to Gabriel, of course, Saliba. We've got so many tall, powerful players. Jokeres, that we've got so many players. And there's only so many players that the opposition can try and negate or man up on or match or zone or set up their zone defense for. And it allows opportunities, space for someone like Timber to slip in and head the ball as powerfully as he did, and 1-0 to the Arsenal. It was just a beautiful set piece delivery. It's remiss of me not to mention that prior to that, David Raya has made a magnificent save. Speaking of a set piece header, it was really well taken by Leeds. Unusual for Arsenal to allow such a chance from point blank range. But Raya, he doesn't have that much to do during the matches, I know, especially matches of this state where we are very dominant in possession. I believe it was 68%. In favour of Arsenal this match. So, but what it needs is that when it's your time to shine, that you do your job and you do your job well. And Arsenal have really developed, and this is a trait of genuine world-class keepers, that when it's their moment, that they just step up and do it. And Raya has palmed that away beautifully. Strong hand tipped it over the bar, and that's that. He just takes care of business. So reassuring to have. So apologies, that was remiss of me not to mention before the opening goal. Speaking of things that I should have mentioned before the opening goal, Jokeres, he wouldn't like watching that moment again. I think he didn't realize how much time and space he actually had from that opening that Odegaard created. So I'm just thankful now, because Arsenal have won 5-0 and he himself scored twice. So we can hopefully just silence that little narrative, that little pressure that was kind of building up on him from his performance last week against United, which again, I just think too much is made of some of these things. It's one match, we still won the game. He's integrating new player. I mean, it's not that big of a deal at all for me. It's anyway. I did like, after he thumped home the penalty, how good was the penalty strike, by the way? He's absolutely rocketed in. I don't think since Van Persie we've had someone who absolutely smashes the ball in like that. So it was beautifully taken. The goalkeeper stood no chance. So there's unsavable. And I love how he's done his Bane celebration, but he's also done that little hair flick thing. So that was, I love those little moments. I mean, fair play to him. Good on him. If he can't enjoy those moments, then, you know, when else is he going to? So look, I didn't mean to skip that far ahead. That was the fifth goal. So the opener came from Timber, of course, not long after. It was a bit of a strange, unusual build-up that we had a bit of possession. Ethan had come on this point for Odegaard, and I thought Ethan looked very good in that position. I'm glad that Arteta brought him on at that moment, rather than reshuffling things. Maybe in the past he would have brought on Trossard and maybe looked to reshape the front forward system, maybe play him off the striker or something. But it was great just that when Aries come on, he looked very good, very lively. Perhaps overcooked a little bit, that little passage of play. We lost possession. Rice was straight in there to nip it back. It comes out to Timber. He slots in Saka beautifully. And this, I love this finish. And this is a little bit bittersweet talking about this, of course, because we know that Bukayo picked up an injury in the second half, and it may be a little while since we see him back doing Saka things again, but what an amazing shot. What a strike. He's really developed his right foot, the power that he gets from a short back lift. I mean, the keeper was just left. I mean, he's just standing still. He's just trying to put his arm up, but the ball's already in the back of the net. By the time he's got his arm up and it was 2-0, it was a beautiful strike. And yeah, it's going to be a real shame to lose Saka again. So interestingly, then when we made the change, Madueke has come across to the right. And I should have mentioned, of course, as well, that Madueke made his debut as starting left winger. I've been saying for a little while that left wing is right up for grabs. It's open, and he's putting his hand up to do it. I mean, he's ousted Martinelli from this particular match. He's got the nod. I think Madueke was pretty good. Probably overall, he looked a bit better on the right after Saka was injured than on the left. But look, that's just my personal opinion. Trossard has come on. He's done his thing over there. Zubimendi kept things ticking over very well in midfield. I thought Rice was really good this match, very involved, unusually flat last week. And I just think he was just feeling a bit off. That's going to happen. Over the course of a 7, 8, 9 month season, you're not going to be a 10 out of 10 every match, right? And that's absolutely fine. So Rice looked much more himself today. Then we get to it was a bit of a scrappy sort of goal, wasn't it? That it came from a corner again, but kind of out of nowhere. It's been sort of tumbled home by Timber. And then, I've got to talk about this Gyökeres goal. What I loved is that Calafiori's played it over the top. And Gyökeres, as we know, he likes to float and drift out to that left-hand side channel, try and drag out a defender with him, or drag out a centre-half. He looks to create space for him to operate in. The ball has been played quickly at a much higher tempo. That's the key here, that we don't slow things down and allow the defence to set up and players to get back. We played it quickly. Calafiori has kept on sprinting, of course. I mean, he almost had to get out of the way by the time Gyökeres had taken his shot. But what I love is that the moment Gyökeres gets the ball, he's only got one thing on his mind, and this is that raw instinct that you can't quite, you can't buy. It's just innate. It's built from within. A player who's just got one thing on their mind when they get the ball, and he only had one thing on his mind. Even though Arsenal had other options coming forward, I saw Rice, he had both arms up because he drifted into the box. He was opening himself up for a shot if Victor had cut it across to him. But he doesn't need to. He's not even thinking that. He's just thinking that this is my job. I'm the striker. I'm the man. This is my job to put it in the back of the net. And he did that. Cut inside, finished low and hard into that pocket corner. And that's it. The moment he struck it, it's a goal. And it's just a great moment. You can sense the relief from him. It was a bit of a pressure release for him. The Bane celebration straight away. The whole crowd is lifted. It was fantastic. Then to the fifth and final goal. Look, when Dowman came on, what an applause he received. What a reception he received. There's something really, really, really special about a player coming from Hale End, who's been at the club from such a young age, and we've had so many examples of it in the past. There's just something just so emotionally beautiful about it. And I think that too has what's played such a part with the narrative around Eze, you know, coming home, so to speak. And the look of disbelief and joy on Eze's face as he was coming out to the Emirates, receiving that standing ovation. He was just shaking his head, almost pinching himself. I mean, it's just so, so, so beautiful, and it's so tangible, and it means so much to them and the crowd. And look, it's just a brilliant moment for Max, for his family, and he looked great, didn't he? I mean, this guy's 15. It's just wild that someone like at that age can belong there against grown men, and he doesn't look out of place. He took his player on, who was their left back, Gudmundsson, I believe it is. Apologies if I got that wrong. But geez, he gave him a torrid time in that 35 odd minutes. And I think that was part of his frustration when he was berating the referee and picked up a yellow card unnecessarily for himself later on, because he's been roasted by a 15-year-old, right? I kind of felt for him in a little way, but that's professional football, isn't it? Dowman looked very lively, excellent. Sprayed a few passes from here and there, but it's okay. You know, this is all part of the integration curve. We were already well ahead by that point. The crowd were urging him to shoot a couple of times, and perhaps a bit too exuberant to do so. The shots were well wide. Look, I'm just going to call it like it is. This is not going to be critical. I'm not going to say anything about that. It was dive or anything. For me, that's not a penalty. When he finally did win one, when he danced into the box, for me there wasn't enough for a penalty. Arsenal have conceded that at the other end, and we certainly have had a few contentious moments when we've given away a penalty in seasons gone past. And look, I'd feel pretty robbed in that case. I don't think it's enough to award a penalty. That's just my personal opinion. Okay, it's no slight or reflection on Dowman. For me, it wasn't enough for a penalty. I'm just trying to give an unbiased opinion there and call it as I see it. It was not a penalty for me. But anyway, it's been checked by VAR. They've upheld the referee Jared Gillett's decision, and Jokeres smashes at home and 5-0. A resounding victory for Arsenal. Unfortunately, it's come at a heavy toll. How heavy that's going to be, well, look, we'll just have to, it just remains to be seen. For now, though, it's a thumping win. It's another clean sheet. We've got a goal difference of +6 with 6 points on the board. Heading into Anfield next week, it's certainly a strong position to be in. Would I feel a lot better knowing that we've got Havertz, Odegaard and Saka in the squad to go to Anfield? Yes, I certainly would. However, looking at the options now, looking at some players who weren't even utilised, of course, the likes of Martinelli, who I've mentioned a few times as well. Yes, they're not at the same level, the same calibre, of course. I fully acknowledge that. However, there's options across the team that Arteta can... That he doesn't need to go back to the drawing board, is what I'm trying to say. He can just look to reshuffle, reshape things, assess the squad during the week, see how they're training, how they're feeling, once we get some scans done and some further context, and make some decisions there. Because, look, it's a difficult place to go. We have not won there since that Derby match way back in 2012. We've been thumped there many times, of course, in the years since. But lately, you know, it's been a very, very close match. And, if you offered me a point right now, would I take it? Would I take 7 points from the opening nine? You know, I would. However, I know the club is not thinking in that mindset. The mentality is to go there and put a performance together that's going to bring home the 3 points back to Arsenal. So it remains to be seen how the severity of the damage during the week. So I think I will bring this recording to a close on that note. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Please let me know your thoughts or comments or questions, any feedback I would most certainly welcome. And I'll be back on again in a few days' time. I'm traveling back to Melbourne on Tuesday. And let's see what news emerges about the severity of the injuries. And I'll be back on to record as we head into the build-up for the big Anfield clash next week. So thank you again for listening. Look after yourselves, look after your loved ones, check in and reach out if you're struggling to anyone within your circle. And please be kind and enjoy another resounding Arsenal win, even though it's come at a cost, right? However, just, you know, fingers crossed that we'll be okay in the end. So thank you once again, and come on, Arsenal.